0 TR Mobile.
I'm N4DJC.
Good morning, Jerry. I haven't heard you in a while. Nice to hear you today. We just been out surfing for hearing aids. Bernice lost one of her hearing aids last night at a concert here for the grandkids. And no joy on that.
I don't have to have them yet, but I can see that I'm going to have to have my... At some point in time, my left ear is just not very good at all. Since I've I'm left-handed, then I'm a shooting on that side, and that's the side is not so good. The other side is pretty decent, but of course I have, of course I ring all the time. But they've been that way for years anyway. There's not much help in that, I don't think.
Tinnitus, whatever it is. Yeah, I got that. Bernice got that. I think it just comes with age. It was around a lot of jet engine and aircraft for a while. It was pretty noisy. But I don't have to have them. Bernice is taking good care of them. I recommend Sam's or Costco's, either one. We went to Costco's for her, and they've been excellent. No problems. They're Siemens, which is a good company. And they're teeny tiny things. And I think we can blame it on COVID, because I think when she put her mask on over there, there was a big crowd that she probably knocked it out then. And they're so small, you just don't notice it right off.
I noticed that Bose is making hearing aids now that are, they're expensive. I mean, they're not expensive compared to some of the stuff I've heard people talk about, several, $4,000 or $5,000. These things are about $850, but I may have to try something like that before I go full blown, because I'm not, like I said, it's just my left ear, but still, it's annoying sometimes. When especially when I'm in a doctor's office and have the nurses and doctor, they both speak fairly, reasonable levels, but all those years in the mill at 90 decibels, 35 years where it takes a toll on it, too. I thought it was just the shooting, but I think it's just more than that. It's just that constant, 90 decibel stuff, just even with earplugs. I've always worn earplugs, but, those things are not very effective.
They are pretty effective if they're put in right, but most people never wear them right. But they're usually about minus 22 decibels or something like that. But, Jerry, anything over 80 decibels for a certain amount of time and OSHA will kick in. But you know what? You and I worked when there wasn't any OSHA. And I was around air grinders and machine tools, very large machine tools, for years. And if they got a dull tool or something, it just got deafening sometimes when they were making a cut to where it was above the threshold of pain.
When we went through all our OSHA training back in the 70s, they were telling us about the decibel levels. Every 3 dB a decibel, the level is twice, the pressure is twice as much. The noise doubles, and it's just the pressure. And then over time, it reduces it some, but it still takes a toll. Now, when I go out, if I go out and shoot or something, I use earplugs in 27 dB muffs as well. So it's a little more comfortable that way, especially to somebody that doesn't follow the range commands of shoot something with a rifle with a muzzle brake on it at the wrong time. It's just terrible then. It's almost painful. But I was very lucky I didn't perforate an eardrum. I had a guy do that when we were at the range several months ago. And I went to the doctor the next week. She said, "That's not perforated." I said, "Well," I said, "I'm lucky then." But thankfully it came back to normal again. But I did have my muffs on, but I didn't have my plugs in, too. But, those muzzle brakes, that's just, I'll say how people shoot with them, because it's just terrible, especially when, 300 mags and some of those, Yeah, they just, some of those guns, 300 megs, those things just incredibly loud, even without a muzzle brake.
I had a guy, I remember his name very much. His name was Alan Parker, and he pulled up and shot a 270. Well, I was sitting at a bench rest, and he was behind me and shot past me. And I'm telling you, I thought it blew my ear over into the next one, and it was terribly painful. And so later on, when he was sitting down, I just walked over there behind him and shot down there at the same target. And I said, "Now what do you think?" And he's holding his head, you know. And I said, "Don't do that again." And, you know, he never did.
Being 42C Friday, one time when I was doing most of my shooting, I was doing it at the Mecklenburg Club in Charlotte. And they had very strict range rules. If somebody did that, they got kicked off the range. And, you know, they were suspended for a while and had to go back through training. It was a very well-regulated range. The one up here at Pickens is not too bad, but these public ranges, like the ones that I go to sometimes at Cedar Creek up there near above Valhalla, we go there on Sunday. We usually go up there later in the evening when nobody's there. That way we don't get all the AK guys up there and AR guys blasting away at nothing. But the Pickens range isn't too bad. But, you know, anytime you shoot under a covered bench like most of the nicer ones are, it just magnifies the noise anyway. I know it does, and kind of directs it back to you. But I've never owned a rifle muzzle brake. I've shot some heavy caliber, but I never owned anything over probably over a 7 mag, and that was for a very limited period of time. I always went back to a .270.
Roger. Well, the 7 mag is a built-in cartridge, and it kicks like a mule. The guy was shooting a Browning Grade 1 one time, and he told me, he says, "Now, when I shoot this, don't pick that brass up." I'd ask him if I could have one of them for my collection, and he said, "Don't pick it up for a little while." It was a semi-automatic. Well, you know, a breech-loading gun or a regular bolt-action gun, you can pick them right up. They're warm. But I reached over and started to pick that thing up, and it was white hot. And it didn't take me all day to look that one over. I still got that cartridge, matter of fact. shoot. Yeah, we went out, and when I was first shooting, we were kids, basically, in our 20s, and didn't think about hearing protection, you know. But we did always practice safety first. But it was just out in the old strip mines in Kansas. And there wasn't any regulations, but we had our own, and everybody was super safe, and never had a problem with that. But I have about 6 pairs of those electronic muffs, and if the grandkids come over or something with 22s or otherwise, I had regular muffs, and then I went to these electronic ones because they weren't all that expensive now. Caldwells, I guess they are. And they work quite effectively. And they're, $25-$30 a pair. And I thought, that's cheap protection. Even a .22 is loud, but heck, something like a .357 or .38 are up in that region, or 120-130 dB. They're pretty loud. I'm not positive on that, but they're very loud. But don't shoot those anyways anymore. Don't have them, so can't shoot them. Just .22 now and then, Jerry.
We mostly shoot .22. I still shoot a 9mm pistol, a fair amount, .38, and some .357s. The .357 is in a 4-inch, it is kind of tough. My 9mm SIG is a single action. It's not a type of Appalachian that was built kind of like the 1911 is, kind of, you know, thumb safety and that sort of thing. You know, it didn't have the locking mechanism was different on it than a 1911 is. It didn't have a, it's still a, it's a real soft shooter and it's easy to rack. And with a 5-inch barrel, it's not as loud as some of the short ones are. And I usually just use standard, you know, just normal standard 9-plus B 150 grain jacket bullets in it most of the time. And it's not too bad. Of course, with the muffs, it's fine. But the, just not indoors. I don't care to shoot indoors. I'd much rather shoot outdoors even with it, with muffs up. I started using, I started wearing Barcelona muffs back in, probably in 1970 or 71 when I started. I didn't wear anything until I started, any muffs until I started shooting center fires. And I got a pair of those old Barcelona muffs, and I kept those things for years and years and years, and I got some Peltors now, the shotgunner style, which is kind of lower profile ones, and they, you know, they work well. My son's got the electronic bus. I ain't tried those yet. That'll probably be the next thing I'll do, but I don't go out often enough to warrant getting anything like that yet.
No, I don't either. I'm a member over at Cooters, but gosh, every time you go over there, which has been over a year or two since I've been there, you'll be shooting pistol, and then somebody will come in and they'll bring a high-powered rifle in that indoor range, and it's just deafening. And I just don't enjoy it, so I just don't go over there anymore. But just to look at what they got, or, you know, visit with them a little bit and stuff like that. I know some of the guys there. But it's just not enjoyable. Well, when you say muzzle brake, you said they're louder. Before I go, we just got home, Jerry, but I'm thinking flash suppressor or something. I got a blank this morning on muzzle brake. Does that make them louder? And explain what you're talking about.
To reduce recoil, and it directs the gases to the side rather than you know, angled out and straight out like it does when it it actually kind of, you know, I said Browning used to make them. Browning had them on a lot of their BAR type rifles and bolt actions for a long time. It was an adjustable sort of thing. You could either get it where it had the holes in it, and it's like a vent type thing, like a vent, like a you know, like old polychoke stuff used to be. It just diverts the gases out the side. Of course, it just makes them louder to anybody on the side, but it reduces the recoil, you know, by maybe 20% or so. But it's not the same thing as a flash suppressor. It's a different thing altogether. It's, it usually directs the gases out to the side. You see a lot on 50-cal bolts and something like the Barretts, and it does reduce recoil. Those things look like a muzzle brake off a tank, though. And, yeah, I mean, it was just the muzzle blast out of those things, they'll blow up. If you got a can of soda sitting beside it, just blow it completely off the bench, just so there's so much pressure coming out of that thing. But, yeah, it reduces the core, but it just makes it louder to you. And anybody beside you is even worse.
I didn't, no, I'm not familiar with that. The old polychokes, yeah. Yeah, I had a, my brother-in-law was like a brother to me back in Kansas, and he had some nice shotguns, and I had taken the preacher's son up there and went squirrel hunting with him, and he noticed that George had some of these, and so unbeknownst to me, he sneaked back out there one day, and he had this, I don't know what it was, J.C. Higgins or something with a polychoke on it. And he traded George out of a Model 12 Browning, lightweight, I think it was. And, it just made me madder and horner. And I said, George, why in the world would you do that? And he said, well, I thought he was your friend. I said, that goes to show you, you don't want to trust a preacher's son just because he's the preacher's son. But I didn't say anything about it. He used it a lot and went goose hunting and all of that all the time. But I thought that was, I hate somebody that's that low, you know. But that's what happens at times by mistake. But at any rate, George still had most of his left, and the grandsons still go out there hunting. They're going out there October 31st and hunt for a week for deer and enjoy the farm, because my nephews retained the farm all this year. I wish I could go back and just go fishing in the pond and walk around out in the timber. But I'm not going to drive 935 miles for it. Jerry, we're home, and don't be a stranger. Really enjoyed the visit. And you take care, my friend, and maybe we'll catch you down the line. This is Enger OTR, clear on your final.
It's great. The body shows you get them, like they had little vents inside of them, and probably something that's closer to what these muzzle braces, kind of like the old cuts compensators people used to put on shotguns, where it had the vents inside of it that let the gases, and that reduces recoil supposedly. But anyway, I'll let you go. You and Bernice have a nice afternoon. I'm hoping I'm gonna get put a couple of burgers on the grill here in a little bit and grab a bite for lunch. Have a good afternoon. Good talking to you. N4DJC clear.
Okay, Jerry, I had my mind set on magnaporting, and you know what that is. Take care. N0TR clear.
Same thing. Just different design. Same thing. See you later, Tom.
Contact, I'm clear. Station, any station, this is Kilo Oscar 4, November Unit. Can somebody give me a signal report, please?
W4DJW in a parking garage in the Parkburg, so I don't know how well I'm getting out, but I've got you at half scale.
I am 2.5 watts on this new Slim Jim I built out in the yard. So what do you think?
Quieting. Your signal, me being almost underground, right? I've got a concrete ceiling about 8 feet above the floor, and there are about 5 or 6 layers of parking lot up above me. So, and I'm about in the middle of it. So I'd say you're doing really, really good. If I came out of this bunker I'm in, for lack of a better word, you probably full scale.
Sure. I just wanted to make sure it worked. I was building one for Patrick, and just make sure it's good to go. Thank you, Dave. You have a wonderful day, bud. That's KO4NUE, and I'm clear.
All right. Is that the 400 ohm or the 300 ohm? Or 450 ohm or 300 ohm?
Wings on it. And I've got it set at 50. 50, 300. And 400. Yeah, that's the way I'm understanding it.
Is that made out of twin lead, the Slim Jim? Oh, okay, that's different than what I was thinking about. For some reason, I keep thinking that's the little roll-up kind you put in your shirt pocket. But anyway, it sounds good. I'll let you go. KO4NUE, W4DJW, clear.
KW, KN4, VWA.
Steve, we are 6 minutes into the afternoon.
Hey, have you made any progress?
So, analyzing the last set of logs, telemetry was really bad. And the thing that was different was there was a 900 megahertz transmitter receiver in the same fuselage area as the 70 centimeter telemetry radio. So I had to separate those two. And I was realize that when the airplane's going away from you, because it was flying circles, and at some point during the circle it's going away from the ground station, that the antenna down the center of the fuselage is pointed, the tip of this antenna is pointed directly at the ground station. That won't work. We know that doesn't work at all. That's the deep null. So I had to turn that thing up at 90 degrees, because vertical polarization works better for the telemetry than horizontal. So coming up horizontal, now it can go away from you in your broadside to the antenna. So I made that one horizontal, and I moved the 900 megahertz right behind the landing gear, parallel, in the same plane as the flat bottom of the fuselage, but parallel to the landing gear. So now, and the servos don't chatter, and I think telemetry will be better, won't suffer anymore, and 900 megahertz were going away from us. So yeah, I made a lot of changes because of the logs that I analyzed from after I got back.
Okay. All right. Well, so what are you thinking as far as getting out there and trying some more testing?
I'm taking my wife out to lunch for the first time in forever. I'm at her workplace in Spartanburg today. I don't think I've ever done this before. And then we've got some papers we've got to go get notarized. So today's kind of like off the list. I was thinking about going later today, but I don't know. We'll play that by ear. Tomorrow I've got some more equipment coming in, and I've got to get a pair of goggles, the OLED goggles ordered. My goggles work, but they're technology. There's a lot better technology out there. So I got to get that done. Probably do those things tomorrow. She told me Saturday. She's got plans for Saturday on the list. Maybe Sunday, and I think Sunday was your day, the earliest day you would be able to get back too. Is that not right?
The absolute best I could do would be get out there probably Saturday evening around 5, and that's iffy. But yeah, Sunday afternoon we could do it.
I'm thinking that's the only thing we know right now. That could change between now and then. I don't know. But I'm thinking that's the only thing we know at this moment. I'd like to do something on Friday, but I got, those 900 megahertz receiver. This guy came out with a new receiver. It's called Tandem, and it's a single receiver that does both 2.4 gigahertz and 900 megahertz, so there you go. I'm thinking your radio probably be able to use that with that external 900 megahertz telemetry. I mean, that 900 megahertz external, what do they call that guy? That thing that goes onto that back bay of your transmitter. Anyway, I'm thinking you'd be able to use that, but something you might want to look into.
Yeah, but see, you think it could do it simultaneously. I mean, and it's called a module.
That's the piece of it you would need to look into it. Make sure it can do it in tandem. Because the name of the receiver is Tandem, and I doubt they would make a Tandem receiver that was only good for a single radio, and your radio is actually the top of the line. Yours is the leading edge. Mine's the bleeding edge. All right, so yours is more proven than mine is, so I'm thinking it's something you need to look into.
Okay. All right, so tentatively we're on for about Sunday afternoon, right?
Yeah, and then we're going to have to do some more of those same kind of tests, but I'm going to build a waypoint mission that spirals up. So we've been doing everything in two dimensions. We go up to 250 feet or 300 feet, and we do circles. So everything's in that one plane. I want to try it. I want to get the logs to span planes. So I'm going to be able to do a waypoint mission that doesn't go so far out on the far side of the loiter loop, because that's way out there. And you can't even see it. I mean, I can see it, but if I'm not paying attention when it heads out there, I can't pick it up while it's already out there if I haven't been watching it go out there. You know what I mean? So I'm going to build one that's more of a ellipse rather than a circle, so that we keep the back side of the circle closer to us. And it goes up in a spiral, so that we can change out the loop. So I've got to build that too and level load it. And then we're going to try that. So that would mean as soon as we take off, you press the auto button. From that point on, right after it breaks the ground, we get auto. And then it's completely right after takeoff. And I gotta build that. I don't know how long that's gonna take.
All right, well, just remember one thing. The minute you climb, that's current. The smaller the arc, that's current. So, battery consumption, that's time. You know that. So, all right, well, listen, we'll plan on Sunday afternoon sometime. We'll get more closer to it. I'll get a hold of you on Saturday and see what you say about a timing on Sunday, okay?
You're absolutely right. That is, I mean, I tend to want want to be at 400 feet in 3 seconds. And that's huge. I mean, that goes up to 40 amps consumption, 40, 50 amps consumption. And that's the waste. That's super waste. That's why I want to get my thumb out of the picture right after it breaks ground. And then I can control the waypoints, how fast it climbs. There's no need to climb to 400 feet in the first 3 seconds of flight. You're right. That's extremely wasteful. And I did some other thing. You reminded me. I cleared out a bigger hole for the battery by moving some things around and grinding on the inside of the battery bay. Now I can put that new technology battery in there, the one that I gave to you after flying that mid-engine Delta pusher. And it was cold after I flew it really, really hard, and I gave it to you. You put it in your hand. It was cold. I can fly that technology now in this airplane. So, man, that goes a lot further. So that's going to change our numbers altogether. We're going to get a whole new set of numbers. I've got two of those batteries that I was using for the mid-engine. So we can use the two that I was using for the Tiger Stick plus the two that I was using for the mid-engine Delta Pusher. So, well, we got a lot of work to do. That's the bottom line. Anyway, my wife should be coming out of here any minute. She's got 2 minutes before she's supposed to be here. So, good talking to you. We'll touch base on Saturday and plan on something on Sunday. CAN4BWA, W4DJW.
Sounds good. That's what we'll plan on. All right, have a good afternoon. Enjoy your lunch. CAN4BWA. Have a good day. Clear.
KO4NUE.